Today's shir is Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud Meir V'Shemayna V'Sulai. Yesterday we learned that Roman Empire had domination over Klal Yisrael for 480 years before the Churban Abayis. Ask the Gemara Meir V'Shemayna V'Sulai, is that true that they only had domination for 180 years? Ask the Gemara Vatani, have we not learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi teaches us, Malchus Pras, that began even before the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, because we know that they were so instrumental and they were helpful in the building of the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Malchus Pras, B'fnei Abayis, they were in power after the Beis HaMikdash was built, Shloshim Abayim Shana. They were in power for another 34 years after the Beis HaMikdash was built. And after those 34 years were up, that's when the Yevonim took over. Malchus Yavon B'fnei Abayis, and Malchus Yavon was in power, says the Gemara, Meir B'fnei Abayis, Meir V'Shemayim Shava. They were in power for 180 years. Malchus Chashmonai B'fnei Abayis, we know the Chashmonai were Kohanim who became the kings over Klal Yisrael. Malchus Chashmonai B'fnei Abayis, Meir V'Shalosh Shanim. They were in control 103 years. And Malchus Beis Hordas was an Eved, was a servant of the Chashmonai. He rebelled against them and became the king, and he was in power, Mei V'Sholosh, for 103 years. Even though they had power, the Malchus Beis Chashmonai and the Malchus Hordas, it wasn't that they had total control. They were subservient to the Romans. Mikan Ve'elech, after Malchus Beis Hordas was taken apart, if you want to know when anything happened, calculate what happened after the Churban Abayis. You'll know by knowing when the Churban Abayis was, then you'll be able to tell when something happened. But says the Gemara, what do we see here? Almud, Moshe Shishava. From here we see that Rome became the king and the Churban Abayis for 206 years. Because we learned before that in yesterday's shir, Dav Chesam Abayis, that the Roman and the Jews together took away the monarchy from the Greeks. And we learned that from, and as we just said, even though the Chashmonai and the Hordas were in control, they were really under the Romaim. So if you count together that amount of years, you'll see it was 206 years. V'at Amrit, but you began the shir, we began the shir to saying today, Mei V'Shmeinim Hava, that they were only 180 years. Answers the Gemara, Ela Esther V'Shitchen and Kambamin Asai B'had Yisrael, as we discussed in our previous year, for the first 26 years when the Romans came into power, they had made an agreement with Klal Yisrael that they would work together. And because they had made that agreement, they would work together, then that counted as years of Roman control. Ela Esrin Shnit Shanim Kamba Minasayu. For the first 26 years, they kept their deal that they would keep partnership with Klal Yisrael. V'lo Yishtabda B'hu. La'amta L'hachi L'kachoshalei. That's why those 26 years are not counted. However, when we count 180 years, we begin counting Kishaposhta Machas Harusha Yisrael from when they started having full domination over Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara Amar Papa, Itoi Haitana, if you have somebody who makes that's not sure, Vlayoda Pratik Hama, if he's not exactly sure, he knows, you know, whenever we speak about numbers, numbers could be divided into hundreds and to tens and into single units when we speak about. So he knows and what hundred years we are in, but he doesn't know exactly what year within those 100 years. He doesn't know the specific number of that year. So what does he do? The Shaila L'Safri, that means he knows he's in the 300th year, for example, after the Churban. But he doesn't know, is this year the 20th year or the 50th year? What is the year? What is the specific year in that 300th year cycle? The Shaila L'Safri Kamikasev. He should ask the Sofrim, the scribes, who write all types of documents, and they always count to Malchus Yovan. The minig was, the custom was, that they didn't count for every country itself, but they counted for Yovan. So they should write what year it is from when Yovan, when the Greek Empire came into control. And he should add 20 years. And when he'll add 20 years to that number, he'll know exactly how many years it is, exactly what year it is. That means, if he'll be told, for example, that it's the 620th year from the Greek Empire, he should add another 20 years, and he'll know that it's 640 years. And that's the way he will always figure out. Why? Because from the beginning of Malchus Yovan until Churban Bayis Sheni, there were 386 years. 180 years for Yovan, 103 years for the Chashmonaim, and 103 years for Hordas. So when you will finish counting 400 years, then when you'll count 400 years for Yovan, it'll be 14 short. So the Rishonim ask, if that's the case, why do we say 20? So they say because they didn't start counting Malchus Yovan from the beginning. They waited to count Malchus Yovan 6 years later, because at the beginning Yovan was only in control of Elam, and then he became in control of the entire world. The Simanach, and how do you remember that 20 is the number? Because the Pasuk says that Yaakov said to Lavan, Zeli Esrim Shonim Bebeisecha. So if you remember that Pasuk, and that Pasuk speaks about the number 20, so the number 20 is the number in this situation that you're looking for. Itar Safra, and now continues the Gemara to teach us, if the Sofer is not sure, he only knows the 400 years from Yovan, and he doesn't know the specific year, the Shaila Tana Kamechoshev, he should ask the Sofer who's writing according to when the Churban Habayis was, and the Niftz Minayas Rishonim, and deduct 20 years, and he'll get the number he's looking for. The Simanach, and the way to remember is Safra B'Tzeira, the Sofer who's writing the Sefer Torah, Tana Tosfa, takes off letters, and the Tana Tosfa, and this one has to add numbers, he has to add 20. Tana de Belio continues the Gemara, Sheshes Alapim Shana Hav Olam, the world will exist for 6,000 years. Shnei Alapim Tayu, the first 2,000 years was absolutely empty. There was nothing, Tayu Vavayu, because there was no Tayu in the world yet. Shnei Alapim Tayra, afterwards there were 2,000 years of Tayra. Shnei Alapim, and the last 2,000 years, Yumaisa Mashiach, and we are living in the time of Mashiach, which, as most Rishonim explain, that now is the time that Mashiach should be coming. The way I understand it with Rishonim, the way Rashi seems to explain is as follows. Of course, we believe that Mashiach could come at any time. But although we believe that Mashiach could come any time, we also recognize that it doesn't necessarily happen that way. And for Mashiach to come now, we would really have to be worthy of Mashiach coming. However, for Mashiach to come during the middle 2,000 years. Now, it's much easier. Now, as the Pasuk says, Hayoim in Bekoil Teshmo, As soon as we do what we're supposed to do, Mashiach will come. Another pshat that I saw is that because we have suffered so much during these last 2,000 years, so this is a time where Klal Yisrael has experienced so much suffering, and because we experience so much suffering, it's already, that suffering already should cause that we should be worthy of Mashiach coming right away. So as I seem to understand, what the Gemara doesn't mean to say is that these last 2,000 years are only a Maaseh Mashiach. But rather what the Gemara means to say is like this. During the middle 2,000 years, since it wasn't the obvious and easy time for Mashiach to arrive, so there, Mashiach is more difficult for it to come, so we only have Torah. But now, we have a combination. Torah never stops. The Torah never stops, but Mashiach is also more likely to come during this time. But then I saw a different pshat, which I think is the pshat of the Ramban. The Ramban's pshat is that during these last 2,000 years of the creation of the world, it's a time, as we said a moment ago, of great suffering. And since now is a time of great suffering, it's a time where it's much more difficult to learn Torah because we have everything that we're experiencing. And that's why the Gemara does not attribute to these last 2,000 years as years of Torah. They're more recognized as the years of Mashiach. The Chazon Ish has a different approach. The Chazon Ish approach to this Gemara is that many halachas in Shas are established according to the halacha of Torah. The most common example is Trefa. The Gemara we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem Masech Techulin identifies which defects make an animal a Trefa, that the halacha says that that animal will not survive, and which defects are not a Trefa. And those halachas remain in place forever, even in a time, even if medically or doctors will suggest that the situations have changed. Says the Chazon Ish, when the Gemara says here, Shnei Alofim Torah, what the Gemara means to say is that during those 2,000 years, that was the time when these halachas were established that don't ever get, that don't ever stop. The Mashah explains that, again, when we speak about Shnei Alofim Torah, what it means is that the time of Golus that we are now experiencing, he says it's such a difficult time, makes it so hard to learn Torah. Says the Gemara, Shnei Alofim Torah Me'emes. So says the Gemara, when do we start counting those 2,000 years of Torah? In Emimei Torah Hashta, it will say that from Matan Torah until the end of 4,000 years, says the Gemara, Lekka Kulahai, that it won't figure out that you have a full 2,000. Because says the Gemara, to Kimi Anispo, if you try to count the years, Trei Alpha Prati Dehai Alpha Hu Dehava. What the Gemara is saying is that the Torah was given in the year 2448 of the third thousand of the year. And if that's the case, when we speak to from 2448 until the end of year 4000, you don't have a full 2000. And the Gemara says that the years of Torah were 2,000 years. Says the Gemara, Ella, what it means is, from when do we start counting the 2,000 years of Torah? Says the Gemara, from when it says that Avram Avinu, Masa Nefesh Ashash Bukharan, the Torah in describing Avram Avinu, says that Asa Nefesh Ashash Bukharan, he made Neshamas, Gemir, and Avram Avinu was the one, together with Sarah, who brought closer all these people to Klal Yisrael, and says the Gemara Gemiri, and we have learned Avram by Hishat the Bacham Shvatat and Hava. When did Avram Avinu begin this mission of bringing people closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? It was when he was 52 years old. Kama Batsim the Tanitana. How many years were missing? We said Abba Meiva Abba V'Tam Neshnin Havin. We said we were missing 448 years. If you count, says the Gemara, Kimiantaba, if you count from the time of our Nefesh HaShe'asu B'Chorin, from that time when Avram Avinu, the Gemara just said, was 52 years old, until Matan Torah took place, you will discover that was exactly 448 years. If it was exactly 448 years, that then we are perfect. From then starts the 2,000 years of Torah. So here we learned that we started the 2,000 years of Torah from when Avram Avinu till the end of the 4,000. And then the last 2,000, which we are in the middle of, are the Zman of Yemos HaMashiach. And many Mefarshim explain that Mashiach is right at our footsteps. And in fact, I saw that there's a minig that by benching, some say Harachman Huzakenu Lemois Mashiach, and some say Harachman Huzakenu Lebias HaMashiach. And the reason that they change the nusach and they say Harachman Huzakenu Lemois Lebias HaMashiach, because as we just finished saying, we're already in the 2,000 years of Mashiach. So since we're already in the 2,000 years of Mashiach, it doesn't make sense to say Harachman Huzakenu Lemois Mashiach. We should say Lebias HaMashiach. And I saw that the Kol Aryeh would be careful when he benched. He would say Harachman Huzakenu Lebias HaMashiach. And he once went to visit the Michas HaLazar. And the Michas HaLazar heard him say that Nusach in Birchas HaMazon. And from then on, that became the minhag of the Michas HaLazar, that when he said Birchas HaMazon, he would say Harachman Huzakenu Lebias HaMashiach. I saw that Ramosha Sternbuch in his Sefer Me'adim Rizmanim says, you know, we say in the Agodah, Ko Yimei Chayecha Lahavi L'mayis HaMashiach. So what does it mean, Lahavi L'mayis HaMashiach? He says that what we're saying is that even though we're already in the time, we're already davening that since we're in the time of Yemos HaMashiach, that's why we're saying that during this time where it's so appropriate that Mashiach should come, we're saying that that's what the Chacham say, Lahavi L'mayis HaMashiach. There are days in the world that Mashiach is imminently going to arrive. Says the Gemara, Omer HaPapa, Eitana Tana V'layata B'kama Prati, Hava. If a Tana learns this Raisa and wants to know how many years are we up to in the current 1,000, the Shaila L'Safri Kama K'siv, he should ask the Sofer, which, as we said earlier in our shir, when the Sofer, when the lawyers would write documents in those times, they would write them according to the Greek Empire, the Nitmalay Arvim V'tamne, and you should add 48 years to the number that they're counting, and you'll know exactly what year we are in. The Simonach, and the way to remember that is the Pasuk says, by the amount of cities there are that were given to the Levim, Abam Mishmani, there were 46. And the way this works is like this. Because if we start counting from Malchus Yavam, so as we learned earlier, Malchus Yavam was in power 380 years before the Churban Abayis. The 2,000 years of Torah ended 172 years after the Churban Habayis. So if we figure out that the way it works was Yetzias Mitzrayim was in the year 2448. After 480 years from that Kabbalah Torah, the Beis HaMikdash was built. Another 410 years that the Beis HaMikdash stand. After that, we were in Golus after the Churban Bayis Rishon for 70 years. The Beis HaMikdash Sheni stood for 420 years. So it turns out that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 4028 of the 4,000, which is 72 years before the year 4,000. So if the cipher begins counting from when Malchus Yavin was in control, it's 552 years before the year 4000. So when you finish counting 600 years, for example, from Malchus Yavim, so you'll see that it's 48 years into the 5000 years. V Toy Safra, if just way the other way years, that he know if there's somebody who knows when the Greek Empire began, but he doesn't know exactly how many years we're up to, the Shalatana Kamakhtani, he should ask him what year it is. For Niftsimanai, when he'll deduct 48 years, Mashakh Lachumra, and he'll know exactly what year we're in. The Simonach, the way to remember, is Safra Bitsira, Tana Tosfor. Here you have to deduct and here you have to add. Says the Gemara Amara Hunabre de Shua. Hai Mandala Yoda Kamishni Bishvu Amit. If somebody doesn't know what year in the Shemitah cycle he's standing, and of course he has to know when Shemitah will be, because even though Shemitah may not, for many explanations, some suggest that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is B'deraisa. So if Shemitah is Bezman Hazeh D'raisa, then of course we have to know when Shemitah is. But even if we'll say it's not D'raisa, it's D'rabbanan, and that applies in Eretz Yisrael. And even if you're in Chutz Loretz, it's relevant for you to know when Shemitah is, because there's halacha of Shemitah's Ksofim. And the halacha is Shemitah's Ksofim applies both in Chutz Loretz and in Eretz Yisrael. So if somebody wants to know where we're up to in the Shemitah cycle, Hai man de lo yoda kama in sarni b'shvu oimid, nitvei chad shata, he adds 1 year on the years that he's counting from when the Churban Bayis Megdash Sheni happened, because the Churban Bayis Sheni was, according to this explanation, the second year after Shemitah. So now we're missing a year. And then we should count the Yovel. That means after we count the Yovel year, that means in every 100 years there are 2 Yovels. And Prati Bishvua, but there's going to be 2 years left because the Yovel is the 49th year. So 49 plus 49 equals 98. V'nishkel m'meyer trei v'nishda prati. So for every 100 years, we have to add 2 years. V'nichshvir b'prati v'shvua. And after we count this all together, we'll discover how many, we'll divide it by 7. V'yidei b'kam m'shnei b'shvua. And we'll know where we're up to in the Shemitah cycle. V'zeh simonach k'zesh nosayim. To remember to count those 2 years, you remember zesh nosayim arah b'kerev ha'aretz. Amr Rav Chanina, after 400 years from the Churban Bayis, which begins the time in Moshe Mashiach, somebody will tell you, kach soda, shove 1,000 dinar and dinar echad, to tell you to buy a piece of property which was worth 1,000 dinar for 1 dinar, because Mashiach is imminently coming, and we're not going to be remaining in Chutz Loretz, and we're not going to need those property. And therefore, it's a bad investment. After 4,231 years from when the world was created, if somebody tells you to buy a property in Chutz Loretz, shava elef dinrin, that's worth 1,000 dinim, but dinar echad, al tikach, because again, we're buying property Chutz Loretz doesn't make any sense. We're all going back to Eretz Yisrael. My benayu says the Gemara, what's the basis of this machlokes that he says it's 400 years and he's about when he says this begins? Says the Gemara, Ikka benayu tlashinim, we have a 3-year difference. The Masnisa Tafit tlashinim, the Braisa adds 3 years on what Rav Chanina said. And his opinion is that it only began the last 2000 only began three years later. The Mefarshim points out that the reason we need to know how many Shemitahs and Yovelis there are is besides to know the Halacha, there's also a Medrash that says that the world will exist for 85 Yovels. And since the Medrash says that the world will exist for 85 Yovel, that's why it's important to know in which Yovel what happened. So of course the question is that the Gemara says here, don't make any investment in real estate in Chutz Laretz, because making investment in real estate in Chutz Laretz doesn't make any sense because Mashiach is imminently coming. So of course, I saw the Mefarshim ask that we've waited so many years and Mashiach still has not come. And why shouldn't we make these investments if we see Mashiach unfortunately hasn't come? So I saw the Amshnov Rebbe explains that that's the reason why Mashiach didn't come. People have made investments in Chutz Laretz. Why have people made investments in Chutz Laretz? Because they don't really believe Mashiach is imminent. And since they don't believe Mashiach is imminent, they figure it's okay to buy real estate. If we really followed the directive of the Gemara, where the Gemara says don't buy real estate in Chutz Laretz because Mashiach is imminently coming, that would be the best reason. That would be the reason for Mashiach comes. However, and Rav Shlomo Kulgar ever points out that just like somebody's home in Chutz Laretz won't be of any use to him when Mashiach comes, so too all the money and assets that we speak about won't be relevant when Mashiach comes. Because the Braisa, therefore, explains Rav Shlomo Kulgar, is teaching us what Amunah means. That somebody has to live with Amunah that his home, his field, is not worth anything. Since his home and anything is not a great investment, what the Gemara doesn't mean to say is don't buy a home. You have to have a home where to live. You have to have a field what they used to do for Panosa. But what the Gemara is referring to, says Rav Shlomo Kulgar, is if you want to invest, and so therefore you need money also. Because until Mashiach comes, we're going to need money. But what the Gemara means to say is having additional homes is not a great investment because those homes are going to become worthless as we go to Eretz Yisrael. The Bnei Yisoskel says that the Chazal teach us a seed in Batim Midrash Batim Konsertion be Yikvu Eretz Yisrael. Says the Bnei Yisoskel, the Chazal are teaching us that all shuls and yeshivas will be transported to Chutz Laretz. They will be transported to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Bnei Yisoskel, it doesn't only mean a shul and a yeshiva. It also includes one's private home. If somebody makes his private home into a place where Torah is learned, it's a place where davening takes place, it's a place where there is hachnasas archim, then your home becomes like a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. And if your home becomes like a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, the halacha is that they will be transported to Chutz Laretz. The Chishuk Echemet has a number of interesting discussions here about different business situation. He speaks about a person, a prominent Rav, somebody comes to see him and tells him, I want you to know, everybody thinks I'm a very wealthy businessman, but I really don't have much money. I'm really in a very bad place. Right after this person walks in, another person walks in who's really not a wealthy person. But he tells the Rav, over the years, I've been able to save some money, and now I want to invest money. And I think that person that he is standing, refers to as the person who just walked out, and the Rav knows that this person really is in a very bad place. And he's certainly not the person that you want to invest money by, is where I want to invest my money. He has here a terrible dilemma, this Rav. On one hand, he's not allowed to disclose a secret, something that was told to him confidentially, that this first person told him that he's not in a good place financially. On the other place, the halacha is that, as the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ritzei Halacha Yudalit, Kol HaYochel HaHatzel. Yochel HaHatzel doesn't mean only saving a person who's in physical danger. We have to save anybody in any type of difficult situation they are, And the Rambam says if we don't do so, that that's called loisam adam reacha. And I saw the Chavetz Chaim, for example, says something that we just discussed in Masechta Shavuos. If somebody could say edus, if somebody could say testimony on behalf of somebody else, and he doesn't, that's, and therefore the person won't be able to prevail in the case, there's a concept that's considered loisam adam reacha. But what should he do? So what the Chush Shechukei Chemetz suggested he should do is not tell him that the place where you're putting your money is not a good place. What he should tell him is that, what he should tell him is maybe give him advice to invest elsewhere. But then he quotes a fascinating story from the Chavetz Chaim. He says, a very prominent Rav came to the Chavetz Chaim and told him that he just was involved in setting up a get for a couple because the couple was married for many years and it was determined that this husband can't have children and that's why they got divorced. Now, somebody came to see this Rav and asked the Rav, does he know anything about this man? Because somebody, daughter or sister or whatever, wants to marry this man. But what he knew, that this man is unable to have children, is the because he can't have children. But it's confidential. He can't say it. What should he do? And he, what should he tell this girl's family? So Chazon Ish said that what this Rav has to say is, I can't tell you the reason why this couple got divorced. What I know is confidential. But he said, what you should say is, that if it was somebody in my family, if this man was mentioned to somebody in my family, I wouldn't necessarily support that suggestion. And that's what he did. And that's what he said. A few weeks later, he meets people from the girl's family, and they tell him that the girl got engaged to this man. A little while later, he meets them, and he said, Baruch Shem, they had a baby. He runs to the Chazon Ish, and he says, wow, let's think about this. If I would have said that this man can't have children, they would have never gotten married. But what happened here is that they got married, Baruch Hashem, and they did have children, because sometimes, obviously, doctors make mistakes, and maybe this couple, the first couple, they together couldn't have children, but with another woman, he obviously could have children. And therefore, in all these situations, we shouldn't be so quick to take what we think we know and use it. But then the Chashukei Chemet discusses another question. With somebody, we're talking here about investing in properties. Where somebody owns a property, he discusses, and somebody got inside information that this property is going to become extremely valuable. And he goes to the owner of the property and gives him a good offer. But it's, of course, not a great offer if he would have known what the property was really worth. Is that considered a mekechtos? So he says that that's considered a mekechtos. If the person who bought it was not aware of this new situation, and he bought it, so he became lucky, and that's not a mekechtos. Then he says, but if the person bought it because he had this inside information. So he says, the way I understand what the Chashukei Chemetz says is as follows. If this is information that's public information, but the seller of the property did not know the public information, it can't be necessarily called mekhtos. But if it's information that could have been known to the seller, but the buyer did it in a way which is very dishonest, that he knew that there's no way that the seller knows the information, and he was trying to trick the seller, he says that that would be considered a mekechtos. And as the Ketzoy says, it's considered a mumba mekech. It's considered a flawed transaction, and therefore the seller could have the entire deal nullified.